All right, why don't we get started? Let me just give a quick intro to Alfred. I've known Alfred for a long time, and right now he's on the personal computer show with me. He does a segment called Health Insider, and prior to that, for I think it was about, Alfred, about 8 years, he was actually co-hosting with us on the show, and now he sings in the choir, so every Wednesday night he has to practice, so he doesn't have the time. And his singing is very good, so don't ask me to sing far away, all right? Because otherwise you'd be far away.
Oh, I sing tenor.
You sing tenor?
Yeah, 10 or 12 miles away.
We've had him as a keynote speaker at Trenton. He's been a speaker at a number of computer shows, and he's very knowledgeable. He's the best description I have of Alfred is, whatever, he's a jack of all trades and maybe a near master in all of them, too. So without ado, let me present Alfred.
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you all for having me here. Appreciate being here. And as mentioned, I'm going to be talking about technology for independent living. And before I get started, though, I'd just like to ask a couple questions. First of all, how many of you are concerned about your needs living independently as you age? How many? Yeah. And how many of you are concerned about a family member or a friend or a loved one who is living independently and you are concerned about helping them? Yeah. I raised my hands on both topics myself.
How many of you are living independently?
Well, I presume most of you are living independently. You made it here, at least. But the main reason behind all this is that we really are facing a major problem in this country over aging in place. As we all know, the population is getting older, but we need to do something, we need to do more. We're doing some things, but we need to do a lot more to help seniors continue to live safely and comfortably in their own homes. And not just because it's a nice thing to do. The reason is that it can save lives. If people live independently without certain safeguards, the risk of injury, disease, illness, death, go up, and so we need to guard against that. But at the same time, allowing people to live independently gives them the opportunity to have a better quality of life. They feel better about themselves. And it's been shown that when you have a better quality of life, you're healthier and you live longer and you live better. So, it's in our interest to make this continue to happen. And the bottom line is it saves money. And as crass as that is, the fact is that when seniors can continue to age in place, we're able to save not only their money and our money, but also save public money, government money. So all the way around, it helps us get more done with less, which is a good thing. The problem is we have a lot of issues that we need to address with this. One of the things that's happening is we're living longer. And one of the things that wasn't really anticipated is we're living longer with chronic conditions, right? Things that used to kill us 40 years ago don't anymore. And so in many cases, it means increased health care, other kinds of increased services and so forth. Alzheimer's is the perfect example. In 1980, there were 3 million patients with Alzheimer's in this country. By 2050, that's predicted to grow to 14 million.
Wow.
From 3 million to 14 million. Right, that's almost five times. And the thing about Alzheimer's is you have diminished capacity, but by and large, you can be perfectly healthy and you can live for decades with Alzheimer's, but requiring a lot more care and to help you get through. So this is one of the kinds of problems that we're facing with an aging population. At the same time, 90% of the seniors polled in the U.S. indicated that they would prefer to live at home if they possibly can. They want to stay home as long as they can do so safely. And I mentioned the money saving. In 2014, 3 years ago, the average cost of living in an assisted living setting, right, not a nursing home, just an assisted living setting where, you know, for seniors, it was $42,000 a year. For a nursing home, it was over $82,000 a year. Okay? How quickly does that carve your nest egg up if you have to go into an assisted living kind of setting? So, again, this is part of the reason why helping people stay in their homes longer can be a good thing. The thing is, it's not just the aging who have the problem. It's also caregivers, the family and the friends who take care of them. Right now in this country, we have 2.5 million paid caregivers helping seniors and other patients. That's the drop in the bucket. We also have 40 million unpaid caregivers, family members, friends, neighbors who are helping out and not getting paid for that. Mm-hmm. And that burden is just going to get bigger and bigger as the years go on. It is forecast that just by 2020, we're going to have two people in need of care for every caregiver who's available. So, you know, we don't have any more people, so we've got to do something else. And technology could be a way to help these people be more effective, more efficient, get more done, not burn out so quickly. One other thing about the caregivers is that almost half of them are 50 years old or older. About a third of them are between 50 and 64, which makes sense, the sandwich generation. They've got their adult children and they've got their senior parents to take care of and other family members. But 14% of the caregivers in this country are 65 or older. So, you know, that's a heavy load for them to carry. Technology does offer us some opportunities to help make them more efficient. And as it turns out, the caregivers are very interested in this. 60% of the caregivers polled expressed interest in using technology in some way to help with their health and care for seniors and others. However, when polled, it turned out that only 7% of them were actually using any technology. And the technology that they are using, for many of you in this club, you would scoff at, what they're using are spreadsheets and WordPress and word processing documents just to keep track of appointments and sharing assignments between different caregivers and so forth. I mean, it's nothing fancy gizmo wearable computing stuff. This is just really basic kinds of things that they're using this stuff for. They'd like to do more. Three quarters of the ones who are interested in using technology said that one of the things they want is they want to be able to get alerts when the person that they're working with needs urgent care. They also want to have technology help them with home safety issues. They want to help them adhere to their medication prescriptions, which we'll talk about a little bit later. It's one of the big problems. And also just to check in, just to make sure that everything's all right, to use technology to do that on an ongoing basis. But so only 7% are using it. Why is that? Well, when asked, they said, one reason was the cost, okay? But the second reason was awareness. My question is, how do you know how much it costs if you're not aware of what there is, right? How many of you think that you're very aware of the kinds of technology that are available for seniors in the home? Okay. How many think you're a little aware? Good, all right. Well, hopefully in the next half hour, you'll all be able to raise your hands a little bit higher on this one, because that's what I'm going to be covering. Before I get into the technology, however, I break it down. There we go. I'm going to try using that. I like to break the problems down into five major categories, the five areas where seniors need some help. And the first one, for me, most important of all, is social. Because you need to be engaged, you need to have a reason, you know, and you need to have interaction. And for a lot of seniors, especially when they're living independently on their own, it's easy just to get isolated, not get contact, as mobility goes down, you don't get out so much, you don't see people so much. So this may not be top of your list, but, you know, if you're not engaged, if you're not happy and healthy, you know, all the other pieces are going to fall apart. So social engagement is a really important piece. Another important piece is financial. And this it covers everything from making sure that bills get paid, which can be a big issue, making sure there's enough money in the checking account, all right? But another big issue is fraud. You may not be aware of this, but financial fraud involving seniors adds up to $3 billion in losses every year just in this country, $3 billion. The average loss is on the order of $120,000. What would it do to your savings were you to lose $120,000? It's a huge problem. And so in the financial area, you know, it's not enough just to make sure the bills get paid. You also have to make sure that the people are protected, and not just from strangers. I mean, I'm sure many of you have horror stories that you've heard about family members who got hold of a checkbook and cleaned it out. So it's something to be aware of. Safety, personal safety, keeping the home secure. But it's also safety when the person is out and about. If they run into trouble when they're away from the home, how do they get help? If they should get disoriented, how do they find their way home? There's a lot of issues in the safety area to consider. Health, and these are just basic daily living kinds of things. Do you eat regular meals? Do you eat well? Is your diet suitable? And do you get exercise? Do you have personal hygiene things covered? So these are all important if you're going to maintain good health while living independently. And the last one, of course, is medical. More than half the seniors in this country take at least one medication daily. More than half the seniors in this country live with a chronic condition of one medical condition of one form or another. And so there are medical issues that you have to keep track of and watch out for. Now, through all of these runs the whole question of impairment. Right? Growing old sucks, but as Hank was saying, it beats the alternative. But the big issue, though, is that you're going to encounter different kinds of impairments as we get older. One group is the whole physical thing: aches, pains, more limited mobility, it's hard to get around, all kinds of physical kinds of constraints that people run into and need to deal with. But then there's also the cognitive, forgetfulness. Having trouble how to figure out to do things, not being able to do things that you used to know how to do, those kinds of problems. And all of these come around to addressing the same basic topic. And this is the question of how much of an impairment is too much. And I think we would all agree in principle that whether it's a physical or a cognitive impairment, once you fall below a certain point, you've got a problem that needs to be addressed. And if you don't address it, it's quite likely that that person won't be able to continue to live independently successfully, and something else needs to be done. So when you fall below that line, that's when the problem needs to be addressed and something needs to be done. One of the problems is, if you ask us, we'll tell you, we're fine. This is the typical reaction you're going to get from somebody. How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I don't get around quite as easy as I used to, and I have trouble remembering phone numbers, but I'm fine. No problem. I'm doing okay. The fact is, we're terrible at reporting how we're doing. You can't trust us to tell how we're doing because we're too close to it. And there's a whole lot of reasons why we're going to stretch things in our favor. All right. The fact is that people do get impaired as they age. And one common way is just over time, it's gradual. And one of the hardest things for individuals and for the families and caregivers is, how do you know when something's too much? How do you know when you cross the line? How do you know when to take the car keys away? Is one of the classic examples. It's a really tough choice for families and individuals to go through, especially when it's a gradual decline like that. So arthritis, dementia, there's all kinds of things that will cause a gradual decline like that. The other thing that we keep in mind is, there are also sudden declines that you have to be on guard for. Person's doing just fine, and all of a sudden they're not. Physical, it could be a fall, right? Or it could be they get a cold, they get the flu, and they're laid up in bed and they can't feed themselves and they can't take care of themselves. That's a physical limitation. It's temporary, hopefully, and they'll come back from it, but you need to be able to guard against that. Same thing with cognitive. you need to be able to detect when somebody has a sudden decline in their cognitive abilities. Again, from a fall that hit their head, that could lead to it. A stroke can lead to this kind of a problem. So one of the challenges of being able to stay home and stay safe is you need to have a way to track these kinds of impairments that are going to allow you to keep track of how they're doing and being able to take action when something's gone too far. Now, the good thing is there's a lot of technology out there that can address these different kinds of issues. One of the things I like to think about is very often somebody will have one thing in their lives that they're having trouble doing, okay? And if you don't deal with that, either they're going to get very sick and end up in the hospital, or you have to put them in a setting where somebody else is going to make sure that that happens for them. But if you can have a technological solution that could solve that one little problem, they could continue to stay home, living independently, feeling better about themselves, lower cost, everything's better all around. So there are technical solutions that can help you with specific kinds of problems. And there's studies out there that have shown, lots and lots of studies that show the value of all this. One of my favorite set of studies comes out from the University of Missouri. They have an exceptional setting. They have their own retirement independent living community associated with the university, and they can use it as a test lab for different kinds of products and treatments and solutions. And one of the things they did was they had a very simple system that had sensors distributed around the apartments, and they would detect the motion of the residents, the people living in those quarters, and they were able to detect when the behaviors changed, when they stopped getting up, when they stopped going to bed, if they stopped going in the kitchen, you know, when they saw behaviors change, and they were able to diagnose illness earlier, they were able to deal with some of these different kinds of impairments sooner, and they discovered quantitatively that it makes a big difference. The residents who were living without this kind of a sensor system, their average stay in that community was 2.6 years. The average stay for those who had the sensors was 4.3, more than 50% longer. So they were able to live independently, safely, more than 50% longer just by having this system in place in the residence. So that's the kind of thing that the technology offers that can help us. So what kind of technology are we talking about? Well, how many of you have seen something like this before, right? That awful commercial, help, I've fallen and I can't get up, right? Right? And personally, I have a real problem with this, and I'm not alone. A lot of seniors refuse to wear them. You know, they just leave them on the bedside table. And, I mean, to me, I get it. It's like when you were a kindergartner and your mom would pin a note to your clothes for the teacher, right? You have this note hanging on you as you walk into school. But it's the same kind of thing. I mean, seniors don't like to have that kind of badge of shame. There are all kinds of devices like this that use different technologies. They'll connect by the Wi-Fi in your home if you have wireless internet in your home. They can connect using cell phone if you don't have internet in your home. They even can have their own proprietary base unit that it would communicate with and then communicate over a standard telephone line. There are all kinds of services. You can have them that will just immediately call the emergency services. You can have them, there are other services that are set up that they'll call a neighbor or a family member or a friend first. The more expensive ones have trained staff 24 hours, 7 days a week who answer the phones and talk to you and help you determine what needs you have. And the cost of these things vary tremendously. And from buy it once and it's yours forever to tens of dollars or even hundreds of dollars a month for the service. So there's a lot of choices, and if you're interested in this kind of a solution, I encourage you to shop broadly and just find out all the different things that are available. However, I will tell you that there's a real problem with it, and again, most people don't use them. But even if they do use them, one study I found, there was a study of people who had an emergency response system of some sort, either a pendant or something on the wall or something they could use. They had a lot of these people in the study, and during the year and a half that the study ran, a significant portion of those people had incidents where they needed urgent attention, urgent help. Out of all the people who needed, had an incident where they needed help, just guess. Think to yourself, what percentage do you think actually use the system? Think about it. The answer is less than 7%.
Wow.
Less than 7%. And that's the ones who had it, not the ones who left it on the dresser. Right? Why is that? Well, there's a lot of good reasons. I did something stupid. You know, I don't want anybody else to know I'm embarrassed. Or it's not that bad. I'll get over this broken leg in a few days. But another one is I don't want my kids to know because they won't think that I can live alone anymore. So there's a lot of good reasons why people don't do it. And as a result of this, that's why I think that any system you have has to include some sort of passive component where, you know, in terms of an emergency situation like this, where help is going to be summoned whether you ask for it or not. Now, some of the pendants do now have fall detection, which is a big improvement, but not all of them. But, you know, automatic fall detection is an important thing. But you don't have to have a big ugly pendant hanging around your neck. As we were talking about earlier, there are applications you can get for your smartphone. It just puts a big old button up there, and you push it, and, you know, depending on the service, it will automatically call somebody or, you know, one of the attendants or whatever. That's a by the way, you don't have to write down product names and stuff as I'm going along here, because I'll mention some of them, but I'll probably skip over others of them. Let me mention, you've got everybody should have an evaluation form. If you don't, I'll make sure you get one. When you fill this out, and I'll explain later why it's so important that you fill this out. When you fill this out and hand it in, I'll give you this, which is a list of products and websites for all the different categories of products that I'm talking about tonight. So you don't have to write down the products when I talk about them. I will give this to you if you give me this. So maybe you don't want a smartphone. You don't have a smartphone. I know my mom doesn't want a smartphone. Maybe you just want a simple phone, all right? This is a thing called the Jitterbug. It's from a company called Great Call, and it's really simple. It's a phone, and guess what you can do with it? Make phone calls, right? Imagine. But in addition to having all the regular phone call stuff, it's got this big old red button at the bottom. And you push that button, and you get help, okay? So that's a nice, you know, a solution. And I also should mention, there's no one solution, all right? What's too intrusive for one person is going to be comforting to somebody else. What's too complicated for somebody else is going to be too easy for this person. So, yeah.
Who are you calling on you when you press the red button?
It depends. I forgot.
911 or?
No. This goes to an attendant, to a trained.
It's an extra paid service.
It's an extra paid service, right. Okay. Yeah, but it comes as a whole package. You don't get this from Verizon. You get this from Great Call. And so you get the whole package. This is a simple solution. But look at this. I mean, would you be willing to wear a watch? This is a watch called the Unali. It's on the list. And it's a new product that I've been watching probably for 3 years now, I think. Cool thing about this watch is it's voice activated. You talk to it, it talks back. It's got GPS, it's got Wi-Fi, it's all built in there. And so if you need help, you just talk to it and say, I need help. But it's also, since it's got GPS, it's, I can't find my way home. And it'll give you directions to home. You don't need a cell phone. You don't need anything else. This is the whole thing.
What's the watch's name?
It's on the list. It's called Unali, U-N-A-L-I, and which I believe means friend or something like that in Cherokee. The woman who's involved in this is got a Cherokee background.
Well,
the iWatch, first of all, iWatch needs an iPhone to talk to anything. Secondly, the iWatch does anything and everything, and some of it even does well. This does a very few things. You know, it's simple, and you're not going to get all confused by the different things that it does. So, the problem is.
Mm-hmm. You have
the prices on the. No, I don't have the prices. This one's not on the market yet. It should be on the market this year. I know they're in beta testing now. This will come up over and over again. But basically, a lot of the technology companies are great at building technology, but they don't look at the senior market. You know, are the numbers big enough that they can see it? Are the buttons big enough that you can hit it without being fumble-fingered? You know, touchscreens are difficult for a lot of seniors to use. So this is great because it has been developed from the ground up for seniors. Of course, they don't always have to look like an emergency something. Right? This is a cane, and a lot of seniors use a cane, naturally, they will. And it's called the Dring, D-R-I-N-G, it's on the list. It's a smart cane. It's got all the, you know, your phone knows when it's upside down or right side up, right? It's got motion detectors in it, so it can determine if you fall. Same tech sensors are built into this cane. If you fall, it knows. And that button on the front is your emergency button. Does that look like that big old pendant that, you know, people have to wear? No. Nobody knows but you that you've got it. You know, it's much, much subtler.
If you drop the cane, does it think you fell?
Well, I haven't tested it, so I don't know how. I'm sure it's got ways of distinguishing between whether it's still with the person or not. And you definitely can, interrupt it and say, no, I'm okay. You know, don't call the cavalry. Or, may I present Iris Apple? Iris is 94 years old. She had a phenomenal career as a designer and fabric designer, and she, I think, did interior design for something like 6 different presidents, okay? And she got involved with this technology company, and she has 2 emergency response systems, those bracelets, right? Mm. They don't have to look like a kindergarten note, right? So, this is a company called Wiseware, and it just shows that, problem with this one, there's some limitations to the interface, and, it doesn't provide as much feedback as I'd like, but it's still, I think, a step in the right direction, because it's something that you would wear out in public and not feel self-conscious about wearing. There are other ways that you can actively engage with people who are living independently. This is a system from Clarity Light, and it actually comes as a phone, as you have it here, or it can just be a tablet, but it's, again, designed for seniors, so that there's only a limited number of things you can do with it. You can program what choices you want there. You can have it automatically do a video chat with family members or doctors or whatever else you're aiming for. I have an early version of this that I use with my mother. My mother is 95 years old. She lives in a single-family home by herself. You can stand with your back to her house and throw a rock as hard as you can, and you will not hit another house. So she's out there by herself. And we decided 4 or 5 years ago that, she ought to do something just to make sure that people knew that she was okay. I asked her, so if you fall and and you're injured and you need help, how long do you want to wait until somebody knows about that? And she said, 2 or 3 days. Needless to say, that was not an acceptable response, and we didn't go with that. But so what she did was she set up what many people might do. She set up an arrangement with a friend in town, a young woman who she knew, and she said, okay, you call me every morning and just to check in, and then we'll be good. It lasted 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know why? Well, the phone call pretty much devolved quickly into, hello, Sydney? Are you dead? Okay, call you tomorrow. They were both so uncomfortable. It just, it did not work for them. So I've got the screen, and my mom gets up in the morning. She goes to the kitchen. It puts a big red button on there that says check in. She presses the button. I get a text message. Knows what time she, tells me what time she pushed the button. And if she doesn't push the button by a certain time, I get a message saying, we haven't heard. What do we do about that? So very appropriate technology, works really well. There's this system, which is like that. There's another system called Nucleus, which is another tablet. This one's interesting because it's got Amazon Alexa built in. Mm-hmm. So you can talk to it, ask it for the weather or the baseball scores or whatever you want, which is pretty nice. But again, I like passive systems. I want systems that will tell me stuff whether the person tells me or not. All right. A lot of home automation systems can give you the data. You know, when was this door open and closed? You know, did the bedroom door get opened this morning? What time? There's a lot of systems that are built that way. Unfortunately, most of the people who put together these systems do not have them with specifically with the needs of seniors in mind, which is a problem. It's the same thing we're talking about with the Apple Watch. Needed to be something that's customized to their specific needs. But you can roll your own a little bit, or some of them are getting better and better about having this kind of remote monitoring kinds of features built in for you. There's one new product that's coming very soon. There's a company that has created radio frequency sensors, and they emit radio frequency waves that can pass through walls. They originally developed this so home, do-it-yourself home repair people can find electrical wires and pipes behind the wallboard in their homes when they're working on things. But they realized they could see through the walls, and they can actually detect individuals in the home silently. Nobody sees them. And so it can actually track the individual and even figure out how much activity they've done. So they can count their steps, essentially. They can even measure their heartbeat, breathing rate, and stuff like that. So that you really can get a lot of information, and it's totally unobtrusive. It just sits in the, you know, sits on the shelf. You never see it. It doesn't light up. You know, it's just there. One of the cool things about this kind of a solution is that they can build in algorithms to analyze the data. And so over a period of weeks, we'll learn what's normal. And for me, my mother gets up between 5:45 and 6:15. She almost all the time is in that half-hour window. So these systems can learn what's normal. And then if something happens outside that normal range, you know, your father hasn't been in the kitchen, you know, it's noon and he hasn't been to the kitchen yet, can give you an alert. So these kinds of systems are going to be very valuable. Another problem is medication adherence. You can get pill bottles that beep and timers and tell you, but the better ones are the ones that can alert you that, you know, you haven't taken your pills, or alert somebody else. And so there are pill boxes that connect to Bluetooth. This is a little one that connects to Bluetooth on my phone, and it'll beep and it'll send a message to my phone if I haven't taken my pills. If you need something that's a little more proactive than that, you can actually buy a pill robot that will sit on the counter and dispense your pills for you at the right time, and even let you know when it's time to refill your prescriptions, which is kind of cool. This one's called the Pillow. There's another one called the Hero, I believe. The Hero is a little different. It's got a camera on it, and it does facial recognition. So it will know whether it's you or your spouse standing in front of the pills, and it will give you your pills, and that is. So it's pretty cool.
How hard is it to program?
It's programmed. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, you don't have to go off and do any programming. You just say this person gets these pills at this time of the day. You load the little compartments, and it takes care of it. Connected devices can also gather a lot of other useful information. There are scales. Everybody's got a bathroom scale, but there are scales now at very reasonable cost that you can buy that will connect to your home internet and send the data to a cloud where somebody else can monitor it, or you can go to your healthcare professionals. Things like this are really important. One of the chronic diseases that's a problem is chronic heart failure. And the problem with that, the heart doesn't beat effectively and fluids can build up. And, you know, and initially you gain a little weight, then your ankles get puffy, and then you start getting swollen all over the place, and then it's hard to breathe, and then all of a sudden you've got pneumonia, and you're in an ambulance ride to the hospital. And according to somebody from IBM's hospital medical division, it's $30,000 for a congestive heart failure patient to simply walk through the door for a hospital readmission. $30,000. Now, if you had a scale that said, oops, you put on 2 pounds, you know, you're not aware of the symptoms. There's nothing that's shown up. Your ankles aren't puffy yet. But if that shows up and it goes to your healthcare person, it can be cheaper for them to send a nurse out, take your vitals, check you, adjust your medicine, and save everybody a ton of money and a lot of heartache and possible disastrous consequences. There are other tools, similar connected tools. You can get connected blood pressure cuffs that will take your blood pressure and record it and put it in the cloud where you can get at it, or family, or healthcare workers. A lot of products in this category these days. And then there are less obtrusive ways of monitoring your biometric data. Apple Watch can measure heartbeat. Other wrist devices can do that. In the middle here, we've got earbuds. There are earbuds that now can measure your heart respiration rate while you're listening to music, which is very, very cool. And in fact, the company behind the technology, I was able to saw a demonstration of this at CES last January. They can measure, just by resting your finger on a smartphone like that, they can measure your blood pressure accurately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I did. I have atrial fib and arrhythmia, and so it's really hard for cuffs to get an accurate measure on me. But this thing, I did it 3 times in the booth there, and the numbers they came up with were, I think, very accurate for what I expect. There are even smart bandages you can get now that will measure heart rate, and again, communicate wirelessly to the internet, store the data, make it available to other people. That's all stuff that's available now. Oh, and, you know, it's not all health and medical. Remember I started with social as the top thing. One of the things that's really important about social is engagement. And video chat is huge. You know, and so Skype is a little challenging for some people. But if you can have a system that is, you know, call my daughter, push a button, you know, talk to the kids up when they get home from school kind of thing, have dinner together. And this is a great way to maintain engagement and stay in their lives even though they may be cross town or across the country. And another engagement thing is companion robots, which sounds a little strange, but they have been used for years now. Japan is way out in front of us on all this. Currently, 1/4 of the entire Japanese population is over 65 or older.
Mm-hmm.
And it's forecast to get up to become 1/3. So they have done a whole lot more about elder care and technology than just about anybody else. So this is Paro. This is a first feel doll that was invented in Japan, and it's interactive. So you talk to it, you pet it, it responds, it makes noise, it moves. And so rather than have a pet that you have to feed and clean up after, this is a pet that you can interact with and have a companion while you're, you know, while you're on your own at home.
I have a robot cat.
You have a robot cat. How do you like it?
It gets boring.
It does get boring. You need a smarter cat.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're just ignoring you, like a real cat.
No.
Nice. So the robot thing. So there's tons of this sort of stuff available. This is a website that you may be interested in. It's a government database, which I hope will still be up. But www.abledata.com. It's got everything from prosthetics to, you know, adaptive products for seniors. So it's much more than the kinds of things we've been talking about tonight. But it's a huge source. You can go in and search for different things, browse for different things, and find different products for different tasks, different categories. It's pretty interesting stuff. So far, everything I've talked about, with exceptions of the things that are, you know, going to come out later this year, everything's available now. But there's a lot of very cool stuff that's just right around the corner. For example, we talked about the diminishing capacity. You know, when you get, you have cognitive impairment, how do you know? Well, studies have been done, and they have shown that they can detect cognitive impairment and brain disorders simply by how you enter your PIN on an ATM machine. The data is there. You already have the data. It's just a question of looking at it a different way. So this is one of the things that's going to be coming in the future. We're going to have more ways of keeping track of how we're doing, and objective ways and measurable ways and reliable ways. Pills. Have you taken your pills? Well, they already have developed smart pills. They put a tiny microchip on each pill, and it's serialized, so they know exactly which individual pill that is. And you just wear a little sensor on your belt, and when the chip passes, it's a radio frequency ID thing, it registers, and so it knows that, yes, you took your pill, and this is exactly when you took it, and exactly which pill you took. So, you know, this can do a lot to help improve medication adherence. Telehealth. Yeah.
How does it know the difference between taking the pill and then or throwing it in the garbage?
Because it didn't pass through your intestine. It has to pass through you and by that sensor. It's got to go near that sensor for it to find it. Telehealth is making huge strides all around the country, all around the world. And so rather than, a senior who may have limited mobility, may have transportation problems, you know, it could be all day to get to the doctor's office. It could be that in 15 minutes, you get on, push the button on the tablet, you put on your connected heart monitor and a doctor who's available and a pool of doctors can see you just about immediately and may be able to answer your questions and clear up the concern you have, or may be able to say, yes, this is indeed a problem. You need to come in for a real office visit. But this is going to save, again, lives. It's going to save money. It's going to save time. It's going to be a huge advantage, just as is personalized medicine. I'm sure you've heard about genomic testing and how we know a lot more about our genetic makeup. They've already discovered genomic markers that will tell you how you're going to react to certain blood thinners or other medications. So they can already tell if this medication is going to be, you're going to be suitable for it, or if it's not going to do anything for you. They're also blood chemistry. There's all kinds of chemical biomarkers that we're already finding correlations to. It's going to change how we prescribe medication and perform treatments for people. And this is a growing field that's getting bigger all the time. Rather than have to strap on a device or put a watch on or something to measure your biometric measures, you're going to be able to just put on clothes. The sensors will be built in. And in fact, this is a demo of clothing that actually has actuators built in to help you move, to help you physically stand up and sit down again, to give your muscles an assist, and that's coming. And finally, back to robots. If you're somebody living at a home and you may have difficulty getting in and out of bed, getting in and out of a chair, it may be difficult for somebody to come in all the time and help you with those things or not even have the strength to safely do that for you. In Japan, again, they've got these robots already that will help people get in and out of bed, in and out of chairs, and could change lives. So before I wrap up, if you want to contact me, I've run through a whole lot of stuff pretty quickly here. If you want to contact me, feel free. My address is a4@verizon.net, and would love to hear from you if you have any questions or want to discuss any of this further. If you want a copy of these slides, all you have to do is send a text to 44222 and just text the word stay home, and you'll get a text back asking for your email. Send your email, and it'll automatically send you a link so you can download the slides. If you don't have a way to text and you want me to send the slides, just write on the bottom of, give me your email at the bottom of your evaluation form, and I'll be happy to email them to you. About the evaluation form, the reason, this is very important for me, and this is why I set up the trade. I'm giving this talk for free, obviously, for your organization. My goal is to be able to go around the country and give this presentation to senior groups all around the country. And I'm in the process of trying to get corporate sponsors to pay me. I'm looking for banks, insurance companies, pharma, investment companies, home care companies. So by your feedback here, you'll be giving me real live data from people that I can take to potential sponsors and say, here's what people actually think about this. Yeah.
Do you have a website?
I don't have a website for this yet. I will soon, but if you're interested, I have a website about what the wearable technology for health and medical stuff. That's healthtechinsider.com. Healthtechinsider.com.
In support of your conversation and your presentation, I would like to make a few comments.
Okay.
Would you please find out how many people are over 90?
How many people are over 90? All right. You win.
In addition to that, let me tell you that I take no medication. Thank you. I take no medication at all. I never do. The only thing I take is an aspirin or a Tylenol for pain if I bruise myself or something like that. Secondly, I exercise every day. Exercise is what keeps me going. I get plenty of sleep. Why? Because with aging, those of you who are in your 80s and 90s can expect to sleep a great deal more than you do now. You will also have difficult body changes that you will face with. Learn how to contain them so that they don't cost an arm and a leg. For example, I urinate about every 2 hours, which is a pain in the you-know-where. But I can't help it, even if I don't drink water or milk or anything else. So therefore, drink, because it clears out the impurities in your body. In addition to that, eat sparingly. Don't put on weight. In addition, laugh at life. Because if you can turn something sour into laughter, your body will heal itself of the distressed cells. That's my experience. Tomorrow, I will be 97.
You have to take that with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You did great. God bless you.
What? You did great.
You did wonderful.
Alfred,
yeah.
Isn't Verizon now AOL?
I'm sorry?
Is it Verizon now AOL?
No. Is Verizon not now AOL? Verizon is now using AOL servers, but all the Verizon domains made it are now on Verizon server, on AOL servers, so you still use the Verizon address.
That.
I know. The press got it all screwed up. Verizon sent out the worst messages about this, and they confused everybody, including me. It's a non-issue. Okay. There are a couple things they didn't do well, but essentially it's a non-issue. Are there any questions? I'm sure we got a few. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take about 10 minutes for questions, but then I'm going to stay until everybody's got all the questions they have that want to ask. I'll make sure that they're all answered before I go.
Are there security issues with the Wi-Fi?
Are there security issues using connected devices on the Wi-Fi?
Yes.
Short answer is yes. The fact is, for me, the benefits outweigh the risks. All right? There's not a whole lot of data in my blood pressure measurements that's putting my personal information at grave risk. I mean, I tell everybody that I've got an arrhythmia. You know, and what else do you need to know? The bigger problem is the things like the Mariah hack where they come and take over your smart devices and turn them into bots, and that's beyond the scale of this discussion. It's an industry-wide problem, not unique to these kinds of products, but I would again say, in general,
so what?
It's not that big a risk.
And for other, I don't know, how beyond your medical things, something else in your house or being vulnerable?
Well, I mean, we've seen the nanny cams, the smart refrigerators, the televisions are all weak points in the system. So,
but who's interested in your house?
Well, as a former pilot, I have the big sky theory that, it's really tough to be found. The problem is these operations catch such a wide net that they can find what they can search through and find stuff that's of interest to them. So it's not that they're going to target you, but you might get caught up in the process. We got one back there. Yeah, please. My email address, I put it up there too fast and I took it away.
Oh, it took it off again.
It's aport@verizon.net. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
A lot of people have irregular heartbeats.
Right.
Have you heard of a gizmo that's a black metal plate? You put your fingers on it and it does take an EKG?
Oh, okay, so have I heard about a device that takes an EKG? In fact, there's a lot of them. One of the best ones.
Whose device is that? Can you turn it off?
Irene's, I think.
Irene's.
You're interfering.
You got feedback.
You're whistling at me again.
You got to lower the device.
There's a device that's very cool. That it's an iPhone case, and it's got two contacts on the back. Because for an EKG, you need to have two points to get a lead. It's not just one. So you hold the phone like this, and it gives you a trace. But there are many, many products like that, from that bandage that you can wear to others that are available. Yeah,
Alfred, I'm told the number one cause of injury to seniors is falls. And I told you my wife is in rehab now. She broke four ribs with a fall.
Yep.
So I haven't heard you mention anything about falls.
Well, the cane knows about falling. One of the things about the those pendants is the better ones are the ones that can automatically detect falls.
They have like a gyroscope or something?
Well, the same thing as you have. You have inertial navigation devices in here. It's gyroscopes, it's magnetometers, and there's a third component. GPS, yeah. But so these can tell when they've been moved, and so these sensors are the size of a grain of sand and cost about as much. So they're easy to incorporate in all kinds of devices. So the bigger thing, so that's fall detection. The bigger topic, which we really don't get into here, though, is fall risk assessment.
And prevention.
And so that's for prevention. I will raise one thing. I don't have a book yet on this, but I did bring copies of a book that were written by a friend and colleague of mine up in Canada. It's called Staying Power, and it's Age Proof Your Home for Comfort, Safety, and Style. And so one of the things that is covered in this book is how to eliminate the dangers of, reduce the danger of falling by changing the way you have your house organized.
Yeah.
I've got copies of this here. They're available for $20 cash. You can take a credit card. My wife, Dee, came along to help me with that. So if you want to get a copy of this, take a look at it, be my guest. But I thought I should bring you something that you could take home if you are interested. So there's that. But fall risk assessment is a big deal. There's all kinds of things from sensors that you can put in your shoes to that wireless system that can tell when you're walking around the house. There are systems like that that can actually evaluate your risk of falling just from your gait as you move around. So there's a lot happening in this. It's a huge problem, and a lot of people are doing a lot of good projects to address
this. Can I mention the sound enhancer?
Can you mention it? Sure, go ahead.
All right. For those of you who have bad hearing, I found a product 2 months ago, not even 2 months ago, 3 weeks ago. It's a sound enhancer. Even if you wear hearing aids, this will magnify the sound so that you hear. You have to wear the earphones. And this is the product. It's called a Pocket Talker. I found it at B&H on 9th Avenue and 33rd and 4th Street. And it's a marvel. I'm crazy about it.
I'm sure Amazon's got it.
One more question. Oh, Irene. Works great. Excellent. All right. Well, let me just wrap up, and again, I will stick around, and then, oh, one more.
You did mention, you know, there's a, not an object.
Right.
About to help the person move their laundry.
Well, actually, I showed you the clothing right. that can actually do this. Right. There are actually products on the market that can help even paralyzed people walk. Mm-hmm. They're called exoskeletons.
Yeah,
Not that product. Yeah. This one was just a research project by a company in England. It's not on a direct track as a product now, but you can, if you look up exoskeleton, you can find it on Health Tech Insider. You'll find a bunch of stories about fabric ones that are being developed.
Is that exoskeleton?
Exoskeleton.
You did mention about seniors and others being scammed
yes.
financially.
Yes.
You didn't touch on that. And
no, because
there's anything out there.
Yeah, the banks are working on it. All right, this isn't going to be a product that you're going to be able to buy and put in your home, right. but it's a service that the banks are very concerned about this, and because they have liability for this as well. The banks and the investment houses. And so you're going to see more services coming from them that will have safeguards that you can put on a senior's account.
I just read a story about a woman that just got scammed out of $82,000 because they told her that her grandson was arrested and needed bail money and ended up wiring money.
It's a common story. All right. I got a call.
Medicaid just changed on shortage. So if you're a caregiver, use your family members, your friends, you have the trust to support.
Oh, interesting. If you got questions about
Medicaid
may have payments for family caregivers.
I can't always do. Yeah.
Let me just summarize.
Stay home.
Aging population in this country is a serious problem. It's going to help us a lot if we can help people stay in their homes longer.
Say it now.
And
you don't send text messages.
No.
If we can help seniors stay in home safely and live independently longer and deal with some of the impairments they're going to come up with, it's going to save lives. It's going to have healthier people. They're going to feel better about themselves, and it's going to save a lot of money. So I thank you all for your time.